On the go, take News Talk 1010 Toronto with you. Download, listen, and learn through the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Jerry Agar.
And joining me, the host of Chatter That Matters, Fridays at noon. We'll get into what today's episode is about in a few moments. Tony Chapman of Tony Chapman Reactions. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Jerry.
So the Canadian Open is on, and in the midst of all of this is the latest golf controversy. There's been controversy in golf ever since Greg Norman and the Saudis teamed up and created LIV Golf, and a whole bunch of anger between various golfers. Now it looks like they might be merging, which doesn't shock me, by the way. That's happened with sort of rival attempts in the past, you know, with hockey and football and baseball and all of that. So what's your reaction on this? Is this hurting the PGA's image at all, or do they just roll on?
Oh, it's hurting their image. I mean, and I would question even beyond repair. And for a couple of reasons, they were very adamant. They wanted nothing to do with Saudi money. They even talked about 9/11. They talked about their moral grounds, their moral compass. And then the Saudis just played the game that everybody plays in sports. Who has the biggest pockets wins. Remember when the Yankees were winning every year when there's no salary cap? And they just started picking off marquee players. And I'm sure the Saudis sat down, or Greg Norman, and said, listen, we're going to now take every top amateur in golf. Anybody that wins the Masters as an amateur, we're going to sign them. So over the next 5 years, all the marquee players are going to come to us. And so they had to create and force this merger. But this is the first step, Jerry, in a chess match where I think the Saudis are looking at dominating sports and everything that comes with it globally.
All right. Is there an issue here for the PGA in that, you know, as one commentator said earlier this week on my show, he called it sports washing, that the Saudis are trying to make themselves look good. And the way he put it, Tony, was, yeah, every once in a while we kill and dismember a journalist. But hey, look at all the money we're putting into hockey golf.
Well, you know, people think about it remaking image, but just think for a minute how cheap it was to own golf globally, a couple of billion dollars. Sports is the last bastion for live eyeballs. It's now getting monetized with gaming. It's getting monetized with gambling. It's getting monetized with merchandise. So the Saudis are going after golf. My bet the next move will be F1. Tennis, Ultimate Fighting, might even buy Red Bull's Adventure Sports. And when they have all of that, those assets, as one owner, they're going to dangle a lot of money to start that off. But it's never happy when you have one side holding all the power. And I think with the Saudis, they're going to control streaming, they're going to control venues. And with their money, they could do, if they bought Ultimate Fighting, they could create the Ultimate Fighting and Ultimate Gambling Casino. With their money, they could take F1 and create their own performance car. They're awash in petrodollars. They got to find a way to invest those dollars. And they're no longer building palaces. The new person running Saudi Arabia is looking at the United Emirates and saying, we need to invest our dollars to create recurring revenue for the future. Sports is an inexpensive way to win, because you're not buying leagues at the beginning, you're buying players, and that's cheap. And once you have the players, then you have the eyeballs. Once you have the eyeballs, the leagues have to follow you.
Well, you may be right. And if you are right, probably you're right as well in which sports they'd go after first. So for me personally, it's encouraging to hear that it might take a while for them to start screwing with baseball.
Well, baseball is very different because you've got a lot of different owners with a lot of deep pockets. But players, for example, in tennis have already expressed their dissatisfaction, like they did in golf, that they're not getting a fair share of the purse. NBA has an incredible revenue share deal with the players. They're happy. The owners are happy. Everyone's doing well. So it'll be a lot harder to do. But I'll tell you, soccer, they're already doing it. F1, if you follow F1, think of how many races are now in the Middle East and how much Saudi's sponsoring it. And if that league is available to buy, they'll buy it, or they'll take the top three or four drivers, guarantee them $100 million a year to put on these exhibition races on the tracks they've built, and before long they'll come in line. And they're playing a game because, again, sports is something we get excited about, and we gamble, we gamify, we wear the merchandise, we talk about it over the office cooler. And I think they're playing a brilliant game. I'm not happy. Last people I would want owning sports and content worldwide would be the Saudis, but because of what they stand for. But as a strategy, I think it's brilliant that they're using these dollars in this way.
All right. Tony Chapman is with me. Tim Hortons has had the Tim Hortons card for a long time, but now Tim Hortons is launching a credit card, the no annual fee MasterCard from Tim Hortons. I'm sure this will work for them.
Well, listen, it's an independent company that's taking all the risk. They're the ones launching the card. They knock on Tim Hortons' door saying, you've got all this data. And Tim Hortons has been put in the penalty box twice for the way they've misused data. You've got all this data. You know that Jerry goes in there every Thursday morning and gets a breakfast sandwich. We can launch a credit card and say to Jerry, hey, the next 52 weeks, the sandwich is on us.
No, it's not. You're way behind how frequent a customer I am. They don't even ask me what I want. They just put it on the table in front of me when I walk in.
That's exactly the beautiful thing about it. And you know, down the road, the facial recognition will tell them as you're walking in the door that that's what you want as well. But from a data point of view, this credit card is very lucrative. Everybody wins except the consumer. Tim Hortons wins because they're getting points redeemed for more product in their store. And they're using the credit card to get heavy light users to become Jerry users that are going in and buying more frequently. The credit card company loves it because people are right now overpowered by credit, and credit is very expensive on a credit card, so that there's a win for it. So I can see why they're doing it, but I mean, the one challenge is the consumer's trying to get to you know, condense the amount of cards in their wallet. Is this going to find an opening? I don't know. But it is definitely a data monetization strategy for Tim Hortons.
All right. Now, the CBC reports, is virtual reality the future? Apple is betting on it. VR experts say we may not be there yet, costing $5,000. The new Apple Vision Pro headset is the latest big bet on virtual and augmented reality. I talked to a professor who has expertise in this yesterday, Tony, and she said it's called Apple Vision Pro for a reason. It's pro level. It's not necessarily the toy that you might be thinking of with your first VR headset or anything. Do you agree?
I listened to the interview. It was brilliant, and she was brilliant, and she's absolutely right. Apple, if you look at how you launch products, you want to get early adopters to be passionate about it, and they're the ones that invite others in, and before you know it, you've got a mainstream product. And you got to remember with Apple, Pro is exactly what they're doing. VR is going to teach you how to fly planes. It's going to teach you how to do surgeries. It's going to teach you how to become a better astrologer, astronomist. Whatever you're passionate about, you're going to be able to have a classroom learning experience unlike anything that can be replicated. So that when you go into the classroom face-to-face with people, you're just so much more prepared. You're not going through the boring stuff. You've mastered the boring stuff by learning it visually, learning it by using your hands, your mind, your heart. So it's going to be, it is the future. And, you know, everybody's getting caught up about all these stupid headsets and I've tried gaming on it and I don't like it or I got dizzy. This is not what VR, that's one little tiny branch of the ability to experience reality without the risks or costs of having amateurs try to do that.
Yeah, I said something about the flight simulator, and she said, well, yeah, you'd be doing that with something like this new set from Apple. You could be practicing a job of some kind, maybe even a complicated one, like an operation or something, with no chance of harming anyone, and you just practice it over and over and over and over and over again in virtual reality. So there's an upside to that. I don't want to run us out of time here. So what's on Chatter That Matters at noon today?
Well, we're just becoming overpowered and overwhelmed by pressure. Even this recent interest rate hit, as people have reached out to me and just talking about, they don't know how they're going to go one month to the other. So I brought on an expert who talks about how to turn pressure into your superpower. And this isn't some silly three steps of this or that. He's talked to Navy SEALs, he's talked to Olympians, Raptors, and how they perform under pressure. And he's unlocking what we can do as individuals to take some of that anxiety away. And at times when it's really important, I'm going after a new job, I'm trying to nail a great interview, how do you set yourself up for success? And it's a great episode. It's also a great story of a young guy who was so beautifully in love with his parents and their intellectual capability, he just chased his own space. So it's a great story, but more importantly, great lessons for your audience.
Yeah, pressure is a good thing. I mean, I've heard singers who go out in front of, you know, 40, 50,000 people. They say, if there's day comes when I'm not nervous to do that, then I'm probably not going to be able to perform.
And he talks about it. External circumstances is one thing, but everybody feels pressure a different way. You got somebody comes in, you know, the Prime Minister Trudeau comes in your office. You're not under pressure. You take an amateur to have that interview and they wouldn't sleep for 3 days. And we all deal with it differently. Yeah. And he talks about the level of uncertainty and anxiety. And I tell you, some great lessons for people. If you're feeling a little overwhelmed, not sleeping, I'd give this one a listen.
That's at noon today with Tony Chapman. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Jared.
This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network.